You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Pointless Exercise podcast. I'm glad you enjoy it. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, podcast is great, but I wish there was a version of it that I could read in the can. Well, you're lucky, because now there is. Actually, there has been all along, only now you could pay for it. Such a deal. But it is a deal, because the Pointless Exercise newsletter, which has gone to the subscriber model as of opening day, for a week after opening day, is running a 15% off promotion. So the $6.99 monthly fee is only $5.94, or you can do an annual, which regularly is $69.99, it's only $59.49. What a deal. Think of it as subscribing to The Athletic, but only getting the good parts. That's pointlessexercise.com. Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. It's spring, and the Cubs are supposed to start on Thursday, so it's time for yet another exciting Cubs podcast. I'm Andy, and joining me, as always, Sam Fells from Deadspin. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Andy.
And Kyle Reichert from the Twitters. Kyle, how you doing?
Andy, good to be back.
Parts unknown.
So, I hope you guys are excited for this season as I am, because woo, it's going to be something. It's going to be interesting, if nothing else. I was telling Kyle right before we started that the Cubs.com headline today is Cubs flush with talent and questions.
Flush is it a good flush? Word.
I mean, I could think of flush with this team, but more in right. Sloan kind of way than the embarrassment of riches.
Well, what is Cubs.com going to say?
We're screwed.
We're screwed. I don't think
third place or bust. Your 2021.
I don't think it's what you get from the official team website.
It is not. I mean, there's talent on the team. The problem is there's not as much of it as there used to be. And in recent years, even that hasn't been enough.
It's true.
So that's a bit of an issue.
It's a bit of an issue. Well, Andy, I'll be honest with you and loquacious as I normally am. The last time we did this was right after the Yu Darvish trade, and I basically told all of your listeners that I likely would never do this again. And you talked me into it, so I'm here.
To be fair, you talked yourself into it.
I talked myself into it because we came to the conclusion that I don't really have to be a fan to do this podcast. I don't have to care. I don't have to be involved.
Right. What I basically said was, I'm not going to replace you unless you really decide you don't want to come back. The spot's yours until you give it up. So
right. So I will be more intermittent than I've been. But I spent the winter being very, very angry and dejected and jaded, more so than usual, I should say. And, you know, baseball is the only sport that is starting on time in this year. I'm gonna sneeze here, so you might want to edit this out. But so, you know, basketball started at a weird time. Hockey started at a weird time. But baseball is starting when it normally starts. So there were these normal pangs and reflexes that go off within me at this time. Like spring training starts, You start seeing spring training results. You start reading the stories. And, like, things begin to stir, and it's like a natural reflex. But so I wasn't very excited, but there was still – it was like, well, at least it's baseball, and maybe I'll watch a little more than I thought. And, you know, considering where I was, you know, can I really let go of the Cubs? And then the Anthony Rizzo headlines hit last night, and I was shuttled right back to where I was in December and January. I was just sitting here going, fuck this team. Fuck this ownership group. Fuck the whole thing. Like, it just threw me right. Like, I was like, okay, opening day, Kyle Hendricks. I love watching Kyle Hendricks pitch. So I was going to watch just to watch Kyle Hendricks pitch. And then I saw that and I was like, nope, forget it. Like, not going to bother. I'll read about this team just enough to do Andy's podcast, but don't count me involved. It was just like, it was just the ultimate kick in the stomach because, like, I understand the logical reasons for trying to get a fair deal with Anthony Rizzo. He's over 30. He's got back problems. You tend to find first basemen. But this is Anthony Rizzo. I mean, this guy cannot mean more to the fans and the community as a player than he does. You make this, you pay this guy, and you don't worry about it. And they're trying to nickel and dime him. And I see all the, you know, here we go with the Cubs prospect heads and the statisticians and the analytics. Well, he's, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is this and this. He's not half the player that Paul Goldschmidt is. And that's how they want to pay him. And that, I mean, that almost, that's almost, it's almost as absurd as the Yu Darvish trade. Almost.
Almost, yeah. So Kyler, are you going to watch the games or am I going to be the only one that watches?
You might be the only one that's watching.
Well, that brings up a great question. Oh,
wait, can you watch the games, Kyle?
That's exactly it. I would definitely watch the games. I would love to watch the games, but I'm not sure how I'm going to do that at this point because apparently, and I just realized this within the last couple of weeks here, Marquee is not carried on either of the two major streaming platforms. And naturally, even though I've subscribed to MLB TV for the better part of the last decade and live less than 5 miles from two MLB stadiums, I still can't watch the Cubs via that avenue either. So if anyone has any advice for how I can watch the games this year, I'm all ears.
Well, I do. I was going to borrow Andy's password.
No, he'd still be blacked out.
No, you get the Marquee app.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, I don't condone that. Wink, wink.
Right.
Yeah. So right, there are easy ways around it. There's also MLB Reddit streams is a good way to watch the games for free, or just get a VPN and tell it you live in Denmark, and then you can also see the games. So
or yeah, move I think to that's Denmark. Be the road I end up going.
You could just move to Denmark. It's a lovely place.
You could, especially in the summer when the days are longer than 4 hours long, like they are in the winter.
Expensive.
I could go join our one. What was it? Swedish listener last summer.
Yeah,
that we had the random European tune in every. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure Lars probably. He's probably runs a tulip farm. He probably needs some help. So that'll work. You know, this is a great testimony for the quality of this podcast. We got three guys. One who won't watch the games and one who can't and then there's me. So that could be what the whole podcast is. Every week we'll sit down and I'll tell you what happened.
Tell you what happened.
Oh, you won't believe what happened.
I mean, you know, I'll check in from time to time, Andy. I won't be able to resist totally. I'll need to see what Adbert Azulai ends up becoming, but
you guys aren't gonna believe how Chris Bryant tripped over first base this time. It was amazing. It was so majestic. Hey, Adbert today on Twitter let us all know, big Ryan Dempster fan.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you, Andy, because you've been part of the Cubs blogosphere, Twittersphere, for longer than most people have been alive.
Oh, honestly, really? It's just me and Al.
It's just you and Al.
We're the grandfathers.
I tweeted this at you yesterday or something to the effect of this, and Al's one of them too, is that I watch and read all the Cubs stuff that's out there, the big names, you know, I won't mention by name. I don't want to pick any fights on your behalf. And I just feel like, how can you drink this Kool-Aid? Like, I'll give you, like I've seen so many posts about, can Jock Peterson hit left-handed pitching? Well, A, the answer is no. And B, the only reason you're trying to talk yourself into it is you're buying what the Cubs are selling. And the only reason they're selling it to you is because they're too cheap to find him a platoon partner. So you sit there and debate. So they're counting on these sites and Twitter followers to sit there and debate whether or not Jock Peterson can hit left-handed pitching and talk themselves into it and forget the fact that the only reason you're talking about it is because the Cubs were too damn cheap to do anything about it.
Yeah, they let Schwarber go, and we know why, because they didn't want to pay him. And they got basically him.
They got him with a glove.
They found him, and yeah, he can successfully catch fly balls. Because yeah, the answer to their question, can he hit lefties, is the Dodgers decided no.
No.
And they're right. Usually right.
Yes. So,
and it would be fine to have him as half of a platoon, but this is a Cub team that's decided we can have a 4-man bench, and we can fill that bench with Eric Sogard, Matt Duffy,
bad.
Jake Mariznick, bad. And PJ Higgins.
Bad. All bad. Just all bad. I mean, if they have any injuries, they're boned. They're going to have injuries because everyone on this team gets hurt. So, yeah, it's the same thing when they decided not, when everyone was cutting themselves over Nico Horner, who hit 086 last year or whatever it was. And I'm sitting there going, well, you're not angry about Nico Horner not making the team. What you're angry about and won't address is that the Cubs didn't go get Colton Wong,
yeah,
who fit perfectly on this team. It wasn't even that expensive. Like, that's what you're arguing about. And so I see these guys getting, oh, it's Cubs season, I'm so excited. And it's like, I feel like I'm the one taking crazy pills here. I'm like, is no one else upset? Does no one else care that this team has raised the middle finger to you for 3 years? No one cares. Bleacher Nation's going to be back there telling him about how great baseball is again.
Well,
I don't get it. It's fine. The Sox fans' vision of Cubs fans is finally true. It is finally true. It does not matter what they do. Everyone will come running back to be in Wrigley.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Well, especially this year.
Especially this year.
They could, you know, Sister Jean could be playing third base, and she might be. And they'd still,
she might be by
whatever August. Whatever Lori tells them, they however many fans they can have that day, that's how many fans they'll have.
Yeah.
All season long. Yeah, and you give, it's a good example. Cole Wong is a perfect example because you've got Nico, who looks like he's actually going to become a pretty good player, but he's not ready. And he was only in the big leagues 2 years ago because they had a short stop. I can write it. I can't say it. A shortstop apocalypse. Everybody got hurt at the same time. So they literally called him at his mom's and said, Mrs. Horner, can Nico come play shortstop? And they drove him down to San Diego, and he did. And then last year he was going to Des Moines, except there was no Des Moines.
Yep.
And they decided that since Jason Kipnis was basically a mop with a glove taped to it, that Nico could at least help out by catching the ball in the last couple innings of every game. So he did. I mean, for whatever it was worth in the half-assed season last year, he was a gold glove finalist.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was, so a guy like Wong was a perfect stopgap. You could sign him for 1 or 2 years and give Nico time to develop. And as if you don't sign Javi, Nico's going to have to scoot over and play shortstop. And Wong does the thing that you need the second baseman to do on this team with this pitching staff is catch the ball. But we're not interested.
We're not interested.
It also made no sense, honestly, that the Cardinals didn't keep him.
Nope, it did not. And I think David Bodie can catch the ball. I mean, he can catch what he can get to. I don't know how much that is. But he's not a brick out there.
I don't know if you know this, but his dad was a baseball coach.
Oh, I did know. I did not. I've never heard that before. Anywhere.
Never comes up. And he read 9 books in the offseason.
9? It's better than I did.
He told Jesse Rogers big scoop yesterday. Bodie told him he read 9 books.
That's such a Jesse Rogers scoop.
Yeah. None of them were Try Not to Suck. Much to Jesse's chagrin. He's read mine. No, that makes 2 of us. Like, that's right, Jesse. We know you've written. Jesse has written more books than he's ever read.
He's read, yes.
So, Kyle, what do you think about the Cubs starting pitching staff?
I legitimately didn't know until yesterday that Alec Mills is not in the rotation. So that was news to me.
Wait, he's not?
No, he's not. Starting rotation is Kyle Hendricks.
What happened there?
Then the flame-throwing, wink, wink, Jake Arrieta, tucked in between him and Zach Davies. Then Trevor Williams.
And Trevor Williams.
And then Adbert. Can you think of a worse place to use Alec Mills than out of the bullpen?
No, I cannot.
No.
Well, third base. Which, again, he might be playing by August.
Anyway, he'll make a good piggyback for when Williams gets shellacked.
Right. That is bad. I mean, that is just a bad rotation. They can dress it up all the way they want. That has a pitcher and a half on it, and one kid who can. I mean, what is the cap when Adbert Azulay starts? 10? Well, 15?
Probably thereabouts. Realistically,
he's thrown about 100 innings in the last 3 years total.
Right.
So, how many innings can you realistically get him to? Probably 100.
Maybe.
So, honestly, for everybody's like, oh, it's great. They're going to give the kid a shot. This is probably the dumbest way to deploy him. Is to have him take starts early. You know, it should be the opposite. Mills should be in the rotation, and Adbert can be his little piggyback. And then you could kind of slowly deal out Adbert's innings, and then if the rest of the division hangs around you, which it very well might, then you can still use him at the end of the season. Otherwise, he's going to hit his inning limit in, like, June.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, Adbert, we'll see you next year. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's absolutely the dumbest way to use him. But
there's a on a bus stop near my place downtown here. That's a promotion from left up from the beginning of last season with the 4 starting pitchers from last season, which made me sad like over the past year because we didn't get a season, but now makes me sad because 3 of the 4 guys on it aren't on the freaking team.
It is sad. It's so sad. Well, I guess if I want to defend, they could use Adbert as an opener in that 5th spot?
They could, where, even though do you think they're starting, really going to do that?
I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. I don't have the slightest idea. I can't fathom they're going to, like, no, we want him to go 5 or 6 innings every start, and then Father's Day rolls around. It's like, all right, pack it up. Like, pack it up. We'll see you in spring training because you're tapped out. Like,
And they tell him, you can't. We're not even going to send you to the minors because we don't want to pay you the $18 a day. You just have to go home. You complained about it last year, Edward. You can go home.
Someone in the front office has thought of this, right? That, like, he can't throw that many innings?
Bleacher Nation may need to write it. And then
is that how it works
now? I think that's how it works now. Did you see the big announcement from Bleacher Nation today that they're going to have a White Sox site?
Well, they're taking over everything.
I don't know if taking over is the word. They're publishing. I don't know who reads a lot of it, but
I can't criticize them. They're doing what I wanted to do, which was develop this independent blog that answers The Athletic, basically. I just couldn't find enough drunks to do it. So, more power to them. I like Mario on the Hawks. I think their Bears coverage is okay. I don't know. I don't read the Bulls stuff. So, whatever. But yeah, I mean, that must be it because, like, anyway, I'm angrying up the blood again, and I shouldn't be because I said I wasn't going to care. You're doing this to me again, Andy.
That's the point.
So, well, you say that the division could hang around them. And absolutely, I don't think the Cardinals are any damn good.
I don't either.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think the Brewers have a chance to be. They have two starters better than anything the Cubs have other than Hendricks, at least. They can they always fashion a bullpen, and they'll hit.
Yeah, they can flash the scoreboard lights for Yelich again this year.
For Yelich again.
So that'll help.
So that'll help. But yeah, it's amazing. They're going to get outflanked by the Brewers for the third time in 4 years.
It was 2006, right, when the Cardinals won the division with 83 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you win 85, you're probably going to win.
That'll do it. Yeah, I would think.
You might be resting. Well, you might be resting the starters at the end of the season with 85 wins.
FanGraphs has the Brewers projected to win it with a whopping 83 right now. Yeah. So
83.
Take that for what it's worth.
83.
Well, Andy, can you devise a path that the Cubs get to the magical number of 83?
I do. It involves a couple of plane crashes. And I mean, you can, but it's you have to take the most Pollyanna view of Brian stays healthy, Rizzo and Javi bounce back.
Well, they can't both be as bad as they were.
No, they should all three of them will be more productive than they were. But if they do the thing the myth of the walk year when everybody has their best year ever and then they cash in and then which is not really true, but if it all happened and then they didn't actually give them away at the end of July, then yeah.
Which they might.
Right. I mean, that's the game we could play at some point is will this guy be on the team at the end of the season? And there's honestly there's 13 guys that they very well could flip for something.
I mean it's actually major league. Like they have to win so that their owner won't get rid of them midseason, but if they win, their owner will get rid of them after the season.
Right. It's going to be one or the other.
So
hopefully, I hope they don't have like a cutout of Todd in the clubhouse.
Well, okay, so here's my I'm still waiting for the Cubs fan rebellion. It is unlikely that the Brewers or Cardinals can get away from the Cubs by the trade deadline. It is unlikely that the Cubs would be something like 10 games back, right? I mean, it could happen, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I think that those three teams are relatively close together. I agree that and this is sad when you look at the Brewer roster, but the Brewers probably have the biggest upside of the three. So if they get their shit together early, then, you know, that's who you're probably chasing. You know,
my question though, if the Cubs are within 2-3 games, no matter what the record, they're just within 2 or 3 games of the top of the NL Central, such as it is, and they trade away all these guys anyway, would that engineer the Cubs fan uprising? Would people stop buying tickets? Would they stop trying to talk themselves into things like Jock Peterson hitting left-handed pitching? Would that be enough? Their own white flag trade, would that result in something the owners would actually see and care about?
Would they? No. I mean,
okay.
Just look at the way one of them runs the state of Nebraska. I mean, they don't have any shame, so they won't care. And they also know that it won't affect their attendance this year because people are just going to be able to go because they can go. It's maybe next year. And even then, they'll spend the offseason trying to spin something. I mean, we'll know that they've hit the skids when marquee promos have Ed Howard in them.
Here
he comes. He's only 4 years away. This is going to be great.
They will by July. Right. Ed Howard has played no minor league baseball, correct?
That's right.
He has not had the chance.
And neither have two of the four guys they got for you.
Right. So that's 4 years at least. Ed Howard will be in marquee promos by the trade deadline. You can book that. Get that on betrivers.com.
But yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, there's enough talent if healthy that they could be good enough to be in it and make at least make Jed make a tough decision in July.
Although Jed's not making.
It's not going to be his decision, right? It's going to be, you know, he's going to go and be told, here's who you need to get rid of.
Well, actually, I don't think they care. They'll care that much whether they get rid of him in July or November, as long as they're gone. Like all they care about is not paying them.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter to the Ricketts if they're cashed in for you know grade schoolers or not. You know, as long as they don't have to pay them, they don't care.
Oh yeah, they showed that with the Lester thing. They had to pay him $10 million, and then they probably could have paid him three more for him to stay and pitch. And they're like, oh, that seems like a lot. And so he signed with Washington, and then somehow Crane found a bag of money under a bunch of towels.
Right.
And then they're like, hey, let's bring Jake back. And then then Jock Peterson called and said, can I come play for you? And I'll play for $2.5 million less than the White Sox were going to give me. And I turned down. I said, all right, good. Sold.
So the only decision for Jed will be, well, do I want to get whatever I can for these guys who are all out the door? Or am I just going to start over completely? Because I think they're all out the door. Why would any of them sign here?
Yeah, that's a good point. The easy move for them to make, if they're really worried about what the fans think, is to re-sign Rizzo. You pay him, you keep him, and then you let everybody else go. Yeah. And the ambassador, the fans' favorite player, is still there. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to let him go, then you just clearly don't give a shit about what the fans think. So let them all go. I think you're right.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from their perspective. I mean, if you're seeing what how Anthony Rizzo is being treated, if you're Javi Baez, why would you sign here? You'll get your money plenty of other places. Plenty of other places that might even try. You know, if you sign here, you know that you're going to spend 2 to 3 years eating it. They're not going to pay you more than, I mean, how many buyers go? He can write his own ticket almost. Wherever Lindor doesn't go, he can go there for a lot of money and, you know, actually be on a team that's trying. Chris Bryant, like, he's been put through so much shit the past year. Why does he need it? Yep. He doesn't need it. I mean, I'm just trying to what if they actually do show interest in signing these guys at all? What is their pitch to them?
Well, and they also could find themselves in the spot where they want to sell in July, and nobody wants to give them anything.
Could be
because all the other owners are the same way. It's like, what? Well, we're not taking on 2 months of that salary. Go find somebody else. And if we are, we're not giving you anything. We'll take the money, and you can have here. We got another 12-year-old that you guys can have.
Right. And no one knows what the next CBA will be like, so you don't really know, you know, what. Even if you're like, oh, we'll bring this guy in for 2 months, we'll get a head start on signing him. You don't know how that's going to, what kind of system you're going to be signing him into. So I'd be surprised if we get to the offseason and anyone's signed to anything before the lockout's over.
Well, it's funny. The reason I can always remember when the last CBA was because it was right after Theo came in, and they had this big plan. They were gonna be aggressive. They were gonna sign guys who they could then. How did they used to work? You could
sign above the slot value in the draft.
Well, they changed the way you got a compensation pick if for a veteran. And they changed it on them, and they put the cap on the internet. They were also going to blow out the international market. And he gets the job. He's all excited. He's got this big plan for what he's going to do. And then they changed all the rules. And he couldn't do any of it the way he wanted to do it. So it would be fitting if there's Jedward sitting there with his little plan drawn out on his whiteboard. And Tom comes back from an owner's meeting and says, oh, yeah, we're not giving anybody any of that shit anymore.
So how this works.
If you sign a free agent now, you lose your next 9 years of draft picks. Every right. draft pick, they're all gone.
That'll teach people for sign free agents. But we were going to sign free agents. Not anymore, you're not. Okay.
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 I'm paying you to think, Jed.
I'm paying you to remind people that Theo used to work here.
If you take anything else from this podcast, dear listener, I just want to know why any Cub fan is excited for this season other than natural reflex. That you're just used to being excited for Cubs baseball in April at the end of March, and that's just how it works. You don't. There's no logic. There's no reason to it. It's just like a. It's like a. It's just a natural function. Because I feel like everything I read should be written in a blind rage, and it's not. And Cubs fans aren't alone. There are plenty of teams with fans who should feel the same way.
It's most of the teams.
It's the exception.
If you're genuinely excited about the season, that's the exception to the rule. At least excited York, based
LA
on
San Diego.
Based on how much you think your team wants to win. Then it's the
Even
exception.
Sox fans are guarded because of the way they like half-assed the past two winners, or two of the past three, because they wanted Machado, they wanted Springer, you know, and then they went and signed these guys only for La Russa's benefit, who they didn't want in the first place. So, like, even though the Sox have a very exciting team that should be pretty damn good, I don't get the sense that they're really jonesing because they think it's short of what it should be.
Yeah, they fell into the same thing everybody else did, which was, this was the last two off seasons. You didn't even have to go out and sign the big free agent. Prices were depressed. You could easily go out and build depth with good, solid big league players if you were willing to pay them a living wage. And they didn't do it either. And so they're super thin. And so then Eloy decides to climb the wall. And now they have to take a guy who's supposed to be playing first base in the minors and just throw him out in left field. Because they also won't go out and find a real major league outfielder to stand out there.
Right.
So they're basically, they just have, they also have a top heavy roster, but theirs is with younger, more exciting players. But they could end up, and they're also in a division where everybody's like, ugh.
Yeah, there's one other team. That's it.
Yeah, it's just the Twins.
And who knows how good they'll be.
Well,
really.
And we've talked about it. It was always your point, which was when you looked at the Indians the last few years, that was always since the World Series, that was always the map that the Cubs were going to follow, which was what's the bare minimum amount of talent we can put on the field to keep our fans thinking we have a chance. And
right.
as the division slides, that could slide with it. Where it's like, oh, you know what? We don't even need to keep him. We can let Kluber go back before they knew he was going to blow his arm up. Because everybody else in the division sucks. We're still going to be in the race. And that's exactly where the Cubs are right now. Which is, we don't need to pay all these guys. We're still going to be hovering around, you know, the top of the division. So that's fine.
What does it say about a sport when having ownership in a front office that is interested in taking advantage of an opportunity to compete is like a distinct competitive advantage against the majority of the rest of the league?
It's a distinct competitive advantage to want to.
Hey,
wouldn't it be cool if our team won? Yeah. That's a distinct competitive advantage in baseball now.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, we're undervalued players. The whole Billy Bean thing. That's what they were looking for. That's what Theo was looking for. Now it's just give a shit. That's your distinct competitive advantage. Just care. Put resources into your team. That's great. But you wanted to know why fans should get excited. I've got a really good thing they should get excited about.
I can't wait.
Boog and JD aren't going to wear suits this year. Huh?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I mean, come on. That's huge news. Big enough news that Marquee cut not one, but apparently two promos about it. That's how exciting it is.
Two promos. Yeah. Outstanding.
They also apparently are going to move the score bug from the bottom of the screen to the upper left-hand corner. And really, that's all I was asking for. That's all I really wanted. It makes everything else worthwhile.
Revolutionary,
no suits,
really.
No suits on the announcers for the 8 seconds that they're actually on screen, and move the score bug up. And that's, you know, that's fine. 68 wins, here we come. I'm cool with it.
68. That's no, your call.
I would say.
I think you said 77 in our private chat.
That sounds about right. I'd say they're 80 to 77, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 80 and 82 sounds like right between the eyes. But 80 and 82 will be just good enough on July 31st or whatever the deadline is that they can't get rid of anybody. Like they'll be, I don't know how many games, they'll be like three games over at the trade deadline, and then they won't do anything. They won't sell the guys. I'm not saying they should. And then the staff will peter out because it can't throw that many innings. Alcilai will be sent home. Like the bullpen will collapse, and they'll 80 and 82. That's where that goes.
Yeah, I would say if you're at 500 at July 31st, you are squarely in the hunt in the NL Central.
You know what they'll do. They'll do what Reinsdorf did at the white flag trade. Is that even if they're within two or three games, they'll sell off what they can. It won't be everybody, but it'll be a lot of people. And then they'll come out and say, "Well, yeah, we're within two games of the division, but what good does winning the division mean? We can't beat the Padres, we can't beat the Dodgers, we can't beat the Mets, we can't beat the Braves in a short series, so." You know, who cares? But the reason they can't beat those teams is their fault.
Right.
It's not like the cosmos conspired against them to not be able to beat these teams. They destroyed their team, but they sabotaged their team enough to say, well, our team is too sabotaged to compete, so we can sabotage it more. It's the Republican way of winning elections. You spend all your time making sure government doesn't work, and then you run on the fact that government doesn't work. Despite the fact that you're the reason that government doesn't work. And people buy it.
Yeah.
And then you'll get posts from Bleacher Nations and Cub whatever that says, well, you have to admit, they are right. They can't compete with the Dodgers, so it's time to start over. Without ever analyzing the fact that they're the reason they can't do that.
Well, and they'll look at the prospects that they get back in whatever trades they make and say, look.
And fap all over the screen about it.
I know this guy's a zygote. But honestly, he has the biggest he has the biggest upside of any recently fertilized egg we've ever seen. Right. They put him in the pitch lab, and the numbers were off the charts. They needed a microscope, but they did it.
They turned into the modern version of Hawk Harrison. Boy, I tell you, this zygote has a better spin rate to come into this league since Bert Blylevin. You know, like it's like, so. That's what they're gonna do.
Well, I can see you're a fine connoisseur of podcasts because you're here at the Pointless Exercise Podcast. And I'm not sure which podcast you're listening to, although I probably could customize this commercial to all of them, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the current podcast lineup, pointlessexercise.com, to make sure you're not missing anything. First of all, there's the award-winning Cubs podcast that I've been doing for years. The lineup changes all the time, but you're unfortunately always stuck with me. This year, same guys are back from last year. Sam Fells from Deadspin and Kyle Reichert from Wisconsin. And now he lives in Chicago. Then there's a couple of newish podcasts. There's Remember This Crap with Mike Donahue. If you haven't heard this, you're in for a treat. We put Mike's encyclopedic memory for banal events in Chicago sports history, especially the Cubs and the Bears, to the test. We are going to try to hit every Cubs season between 1980 and 2011 at some point during this, so tune in. It's a lot of fun. We throw out a year, and we just start remembering crap. And then, as if that's not enough, there's the Movie Deep Dive podcast with actor, comedian, and our Bear expert, which has nothing to do with this podcast, Mike Pusateri, where we pick some of our favorite movies, and we do exactly what it sounds like. We dig deep into it. We dig up sound clips. We talk about the cast. We talk about the directors. We talk about how the movie got made, and we talk about our favorite parts in the movies. So that's plenty of podcasts, and you only have to go to one place to find them. That's pointlessexercise.com. If you needed any better illustration than this of how much they just don't really want, they don't really care to win. I granted, maybe the Rockies are so inept, but we, at some point, they got a phone call from the Rockies. Basically said, look, we know Bryant, you're going to let Bryant leave after the season. Why don't you trade us something, doesn't have to be a lot, for Nolan Arenado. We'll pay for him for this year.
Right.
You don't have to pay a dime. He can play third base. You can have Bryant go play the outfield. And then when he leaves, we'll give him more money too, so that you're not paying the full boat for Nolan for the rest of the time. And he can play third base for you. And you filled that spot. That can be one of the guys you build around. And mm-hmm. the reason we know that was a possibility is that's the exact fucking deal they gave the Cardinals.
Right.
And he wanted, from everything he talked about, he was much more interested in playing for the Cubs than he was for the Cardinals. So that means at some point the Cubs went, no, that won't work.
We can't do that.
No. So that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
One of the MLB network eggheads picked Nolan to be the MVP.
That's ambitious.
And I thought, he's undeniably a great defensive third baseman. He's ridiculous.
No doubt.
But at sea level, he's a 270 hitter. He's still a really nice player. You'd like to have him.
You'd like to
have
him.
But the idea that he's going to hit 320 with 40 homers and 140 RBI is folly.
Well, 140 RBI, no one's going to get on base in front of him. So he's going to be driving in himself a lot. Yeah, I think he'll be a pretty good hitter at sea level all year. But you'd rather have him than not have him.
Yes. I mean, he's, yeah, especially for what they, A, what they gave up and what they have to pay for him. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You do that trade 100 times out of 100, unless apparently you're the Cubs. And then you're the Cubs. None out of 100.
Yeah. Well, we keep coming back to this. Danny, why is anyone excited? why does anyone care? I can't wait to get back to Wrigley. Why? Why do you want to go back to Wrigley and watch this wreck and pay this organization money? I don't understand. Why? I must be missing something. I must be missing something. I'm too jaded. But I don't get it. I never thought I would long for the days when they were just incompetent. Like, I feel like incompetence now is so much more palatable than actual indifference. Like, it was one thing when they were really trying, they just didn't know how, you know? Anyway.
Yeah,
Kyle, are you excited? Kyle, are you excited? If you could, which you can't, would you turn the game on Thursday and be like, yep, this feels right. I'm back where I belong.
It would feel good to have it back. I'm like you said, I love watching Kyle Hendricks. So it'd be good to see him. And I am excited to get back to Wrigley, cause I do go to a decent amount of games every year. So I'm excited to like have that more just in the sense of like normalcy in the greater scheme of things. But I did make the comment to a friend recently that I don't know if I've been more lethargic about a Cubs season in my life. And I would say even during like the rebuild years, you know, leading up to 2015, 16, whatever, like there wasn't optimism, but there was at least a path and a sense of direction. And like, yeah, we were getting excited to follow, you know, the little score bug of whatever Javi was doing in Tennessee or whatever, but it was still like genuine excitement. And to go from that to now, like the franchise being willfully indifferent about a once in a generation, once in a franchise existence, collection of talent.
Right. They've never had it before.
So, I mean, I guess I'm excited to drink some $12 Bud Lights in the bleachers with four people socially distanced or whatever they're going to do out there.
But that's my point. You shouldn't be. Go to
Comiskey. I know. I shouldn't be.
Real baseball. Like, I mean, they didn't even give you, like, you talk about the score bug in Tennessee when Javi and Brian was here. They didn't even give you that. Like, they should have traded, if they were going to trade Darvish, they should have given you guys in return who you could start to follow. and be excited about them arriving at Wrigley in the near future. They didn't even do that. There's nothing to watch here.
Well,
it's a 77-win team on the field and nothing following it. It's not like they've reloaded.
Yeah.
And you can say, okay, here is the next great Cubs team. Here's the next generation. It's not anywhere. I mean, they're seriously staring at like a decade in the abyss if only a few things go wrong.
So they were negotiating with the Padres for you at the same time the Padres were talking to the Rays about Blake Snell. And so the Rays like the package better, or like they prioritized Snell over Darvish. They made the trade. They call the Cubs and they're like, well, you know, we gave one of the guys you really like to Tampa. So you probably don't want to trade you. And they're like, oh, we didn't say that.
We didn't say that.
What do you got? We'll take it. Yeah, I mean, the by far the biggest frustration, unfathomable frustration, is that when they put this team together and they were so exciting in 2015 and you could tell they were building something, and they win the World Series in 2016, and then 2017 they get back and it's, oh, they're exhausted or whatever. But if you had told us all then that in 2021 they were still going to have Rizzo, Bryant, Javi, Hendricks, whatever, but Contreras. That they were just going to – yeah, and Contreras. They just weren't even going to try to build around them in the last year they were going to have them all together. You know, this window was defined, and they got to the last 2 years of the window and went, eh, fuck it.
Right.
That was good enough. Trophy cases are expensive. We never had one. We had to build a little one. And we really don't want to expand on it. Plus, we put those flags up in the outfield. And you know how much we'd have to move one and put a new flagpole in? And, you know, we'd probably have to get a zoning permit. And now, you know, we're a federal landmark. Do you know the paperwork on something like that? Can't you just win 77 games instead? Just do that.
I remember with the flagpoles, when they first put them up after the World Series, I think I might have said it on this podcast with Andy and I guess it would have been Mike at the time, that I like, because this was when we were young and full of hope with the future of the core.
Andy,
I
said, was never young and full of hope. let me put that. I want to get that out there.
I said something to the effect of how I loved that they put, I think they put up 8 of those little like spots in the bushes for the flagpoles, but they only put up 4 flagpoles, implying that they left room for more flagpoles. And here we are, and they're not even going to begin to sniff needing to use another one in any foreseeable future.
So how much?
I mean, they need one. They won the division last year.
That's right.
Right. They need one.
Yep. David Ross has never not won the division as manager. How much you want to bet in those tortured salary negotiations with Rizzo, where they basically just insulted him repeatedly? At some point, they're like, you know what? And also in this deal, you know, because you know you're a Cubs legend, and we already have some statues up. We're really thinking about putting a statue up for you. How much would you be willing to put down?
Right.
For your statue.
It's like a Hollywood star you got to pay for yourself.
Now, there's also cleaning involved. We're going to need a deposit for that. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I feel like at a time like this in history, I should not be trying to convince people to be more miserable than they already are. And, you know, whatever little light there is, you know, you should hold on to it. But I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, that, you know, Tom Ricketts should be afraid to leave his house. Like, and no one seems to care. I'm just confused.
So we got that great, he did a Zoom interview last year with Len and JD. Mm-hmm. And they asked him about what he missed about going to the park. And his answer was perfectly enlightening. He said, what I miss is really getting to the game early and walking around and talking to our corporate partners. Like, you know what? I mean, that's exactly what you miss. So that's great. He is a real man of the people.
Yeah.
And he met his sure wife is. In the bleachers, of course, at least sure according to the talking points that he had to memorize when he first bought the team. Yeah.
Had he ever been to Wrigley Field before he bought the team, you think?
We know he'd been on a rooftop once with his old man, and he pointed, and he said, they sell out every game, no matter what their record is.
Yep.
And that's why Joe wanted to buy it. And now Joe has been like, yeah, that's what you said. So just keep proving it. Like, okay, Dan.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we did it to ourselves. That the old axiom, they'll show up no matter what, got us this. And I'm sure most Cubs fans would say, hey, got us a World Series trade I'd make every day of the week. But it's not a trade you should be asked to make. Like, it's not, that's not a debate. It shouldn't be anything that you're discussing or even thinking about. It shouldn't be, well, if the Cubs win the World Series, but then they're going to be, you're going to have to deal with this asshole running the team for the next 20 years like this. That just shouldn't be a debate.
Oh, the next 20 years. They're the only owners we're going to have for the rest of our lives.
Well, like I said, 20 years.
Well, that's true.
Well, I'm allowing for the fact that maybe in 20 years they'll run the team differently. Stranger things have happened. Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know.
It wouldn't have been a great case. They could have made a case of, we put this core together, and we are going to ride it as hard as we can until 2021 when all these deals are up. And then we may have to reset. And that would have sucked, but you could have lived with that. But they didn't do it.
They
couldn't even get
fine.
To the last 2 years of it. They're like, oh, that's
they couldn't get to the last 3 years last of it. They shortchanged the 2018 team without a bullpen that still won 95 games. Next time anyone wants to tell me Joe Maddon's a complete idiot, and I'm not a huge Joe Maddon fan, that team won 95 games. And it probably didn't have any right to. But yeah, they left that team short. That team needed bullpen arms, maybe another starter, another hitter somewhere. They didn't bother. And they got – I mean, they should have been after Christian Yelich, honestly. They had the pieces then to put Yelich in left field. Make Schwarber part of the deal with prospects people still liked back then.
Yeah. I mean, one thing will haunt me, and I don't even know if it's true. I just have thought about it enough. At the time – it would have taken a lot more than just him, but Albert Almora would have been an attractive piece for the Marlins then.
You know, absolutely.
Miami kid, and you could still sell him on the idea that he catches everything in the outfield and he makes great contact. One of these days he's going to learn how to take a pitch and he's really going to be a good player, and then you add somebody else. And it would have worked. And either they just didn't want to do it, or they overvalued Albert for a long time after it was evident that there wasn't much there. But like, he was our first number one and he's going to make it. Like, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
And so part of my red hot hatred for Christian Yelich is that I look at him and I see Albert Almora.
Right.
Like, honest to God, I think he'd be on our fucking team if it wasn't for that guy and Theo's weird obsession with him and those. I don't know if you ever saw the, like, they had footage of him working out in his backyard when he was in high school, and he had like these chains,
the ropes.
And he would climb up into a tree. And it's like, what are we doing? But Corey Seager was too tall to play shortstop. So It all worked out.
Well, you can still go get Corey Seager in the winter if they want. They want to have to. They're going to have another shortstop. So
they got Ed Howard coming in 4 years. You cannot clog up the shortstop spot. That's what Eric Sogard is here for. He's going to play shortstop for the next 4 years. It'll be fine.
Well, hopefully we've turned some hearts at this podcast. Yeah.
People turned on the podcast and went, isn't this the one where they talk about movies? Where are the clips? I like it when they play the funny movie clips. This is depressing.
Yes, well, it should be.
The saddest thing is that this podcast is turning very quickly into the Remember This Crap podcast.
Yes.
Except we don't have to remember it. We're just looking at it.
We're just looking at
it. This is the Live the Crap podcast. Right. This is the Crap podcast.
This is Study the Crap podcast, because it's right there in front of you.
But you know what? Maybe they'll do what they did last year, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and they'll be 13-3, and you're like, you know what? They're not so bad.
And then, well, there's a lot of Pirates in the opening two weeks, right? A
tremendous amount of Pirates, which is very fortuitous. So, or it could be a real red flag if they're getting beat by the Pirates.
If you're getting beat by the Pirates, you know you suck.
Because the Pirates, who are like actively trying to lose to you.
They will be throwing the ball into the bleachers themselves.
Hey, Polanco, remember the time you fell down? Do that again. Every time.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a weird another summer where I won't be at Wrigley, because even if I were excited, I'm not going to COVID Wrigley. Not with those assholes. The Wrigleyville types who are sending our city's positivity rate skyrocketing. Baseball games.
Let me give you a tip. If you do go to a game and Eric Sogard or his wife are signing autographs before the game, don't run down there.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I've spent an hour yucking everyone's yum, and I guess I should apologize. But I'm just being honest for the people.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a season where the biggest takeaways are we get to watch Rizzo and Javi and Bryant for the last time.
I mean, you can watch them. They'll be on TV wherever they go.
Oh, that's true. But running around.
Yeah, and some of us might actually be able to watch them wherever they go. Right. Which would be nice.
There you go. Kyle should be rooting for them to sign elsewhere as free agents so he can actually see them again.
I heard that Hulu TV said, we'll pick you guys up, but you got to get rid of Ryan Dempster. And they went, no. Are you kidding? He's all we've got. He's our biggest selling point for the entire franchise now. This beloved former Cub pitcher who fucked up not one, but two playoff runs.
And now they have a cast of Duvises they're going to roll in the middle of games and annoy Boog and JD.
Yeah, right? we get the guys it was supposed to be last year. So not only will it be Dempster and Mark Grace.
Great.
But it'll be Lou, which
with his martini
honestly,
in hand.
Yes, honestly, should be very entertaining because he's not going to know who anybody is, which should be great.
And he won't be sober.
That'll be good.
I got this little guy. And he cute. Like, Lou, just knock it off. Mark DeRosa? Does that do anything for you?
No. I don't
Will think he get a standing ovation when they show him in the press box? Whenever they
I would give his wife a standing ovation. I don't know if you've ever seen Mark DeRosa's wife, but
I have not. I mean, I don't think Mark DeRosa is very good on MLB Network.
He's very. So,
he's grinding.
Yeah,
like, right.
A lot of backslapping.
Yeah.
Doug Glanville's supposed to play a bigger role.
He's good.
He's good.
He's
but
too
they,
good for
they
Mark
always
e.
do weird shit. Even ESPN does it. We're like, oh, we've put him out in left field for the day. Why? Put him in the booth. Let him talk. For Christ's sakes. Yeah, and I hope they haven't broken up the exciting post-game crew of Ryan Sweeney and Sean Marshall.
Ugh.
Both of whom I assume were there last year just because they must have lived some within the quarantine zone.
Right.
Well, you guys, we don't have to pay for tests for you guys. Yeah, you could do every game. That'll be great.
What an existence.
I mean, we talked about it before, but it's mind-boggling that they finally get their hands on this, their golden calf, their network, and at the same time they supposedly are trying to sell this and get people to watch it, they're just letting the team go to shit around it. It's just right.
And not getting it out to people like Kyle. Like they can't. I mean, I don't get it. I crime it, and you know, I have YouTube TV like a lot of people. YouTube TV is actually quite large. And they just have no interest in getting it on there.
YouTube dropped all the Sinclairs, right?
I believe
and
so.
And this wonderful thing, this partnership that was going to help them get distributed, ended up working against them. They're like, nope, not yours either. Oh, thanks.
Perhaps the biggest exhibit of just because you're rich doesn't mean you're smart.
Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, they're the perfect example of it because none of them did anything to get rich.
No.
Dad.
Well, they didn't. And Dad might be evil, but Dad's not dumb. He might be racist, but he's not dumb.
You say a lot of things about Joe Ricketts, but he's not dumb.
He's not dumb.
He's an awful human being, but
he can be smart and be an awful human being.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the most awful human beings are smart. That's the scary part.
Watch, they'll do a Blackhawks thing where nothing will line up and they'll still win 90 games.
It could happen.
Spasm 90 games because baseball's weird. The Cardinals are actually worse than we think, and they can, like, you know. I mean, every team has, what, 17 wins on offer from the Pirates? Like, you can just have those. It's the free spot on the bingo card. I don't know that the Reds will be much better.
No, and the Reds are also going to be actively trying to throw people overboard during the season. It's going to be a contest between them and the Cubs as to who can chum the waters the most with their own players.
Even if you get a little lucky and you just pound the Reds, the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, who's bad in the East? Someone's bad in the East. Well, the Marlins. The Marlins have already shoved it up their ass, so it might not be them.
The Cubs cannot beat them. We know
the Cubs cannot beat them.
If you can throw 94 miles an hour or faster, the Cubs can't hit you.
Cubs can't hit you. They're helpless. Utterly helpless. You know, but you could get just those four teams. You could conceivably get like 30 to 35 wins right there. Right?
Well, it does feel like if this really is the end of the era, and it is, that it'll feel really incomplete if they can't either get shut out over like 19 innings in a wild card game or get swept in one last NLDS sweep where they never lead for even a half inning. It's like, that's how this is supposed to end.
And that's how it looks.
If it just ends with that last day of the season against, I think they finished with the Cardinals, and everybody goes their separate ways, it just won't feel as complete as one last playoff indignity. Maybe what it'll be is they'll go into that last series with the Cardinals just needing one win to make the playoffs.
And they won't get it.
And they won't score a run. And then we can all live with it then.
I just want to know what 2022 is. Like, is it a full, yep, you got to wait 4 years, or we've got a different plan? I mean, like, I just kind of want to get to it. It's like, okay, just tell me what I'm in for, because it's still not totally clear what we're in for after this. We know what this season is, but we don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes, I guess.
Well, if the plan is anything other than let everybody go, what are they doing right now?
Well, is it let everybody go, but now your payroll is completely open, and we're gonna sign a pitcher and a hitter, like a couple hitters, and we're gonna try and be competitive. I mean, you know, Contreras will still be here unless they trade him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They could trade him, especially when PJ Higgins lights up the first 2 weeks.
Right.
PJ's one for 12, but man, some of those pop ups. See the exit velocity
on those around there, right? So. I mean, is 2022 going to look like 2012? Is what I'm asking. Whereas, like, there's nothing here. Like, just completely barren. And they're a 100 loss team again. Is that what it will be? Because I don't know that it will be. I don't know that the Ricketts has the stomach for that again.
I don't think they do. I think their whole goal is to be able to sell the possibility that this team can contend without having to do the things you really need to do to do what you're supposed to do, which is put together a roster you think can win the pennant. They're content to try to put a roster together that at least the fans can crane their neck and go, yeah, that team could be in the hunt for the whole season.
Right. Bleacher Nation heading down to Mesa again for his 3 week stay. Oh. Tell you all about the backfields. Anyway, I don't know. I'm getting morose. I'm sorry. I apologize. I won't be here every week, folks. I'm not going to bring you down. every week. I promise.
Kyle and I will be. It'll be really sunny in the when you're not.
I'm sure you just be Kyle. Oh, God.
I didn't know. I had no idea Trevor Williams was this good. I mean, he almost made it four innings last game.
I don't know, Kyle. You're a handsome, optimistic guy. Lift me out of this. Like, let's just, I don't want to live in the morass. Just lift me out of this. So I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, there's Euro 2021, and that'll take me to the middle of July. And they're like, oh, good, the Bears will be a trade. Oh, God. You know, like, I mean, I can get by without the Cubs, but.
Just contend until Andy Dalton and the Bears hit camp. That's all we need.
Mac Jones and the Bears hit camp.
Unless they're going to trade up into the top five, I don't think.
You know they're going to. Like, that's true. You sit here and act like they won't, but he's got to do something. Now it's desperate. Right.
The Bears have traded their next three drafts to get to number four.
Get to number four and not get the guy they wanted there.
Whoops.
I mean, he is not seriously going to show. Well, they don't go to Bourbon anymore, right? It's all at Lake Forest.
Yep.
So he's not going to show up to Lake Forest with just Andy Dalton. It's not going to happen. I'm not ruling out he's going to do something worse at the draft, but they're going to do something. Like, there's just that he can't help himself. They trade up or down every year.
Yeah, they mostly trade up. They only trade down when he's trying to recoup some of the picks that he's already given up because he traded needlessly.
Because he traded up, yeah, right.
That's his pattern. Is he gets fixated on a guy, he trades too much to get him, and then he's like, oh God, we don't have any pick after the fourth round. And then he takes his third rounder and turns it into two fifths and a sixth, just so he has him.
Just so he has him.
Pick a lane, Brian, for Christ's sakes.
Anyway, I asked Kyle to bring
that's
me
right.
out
Kyle's supposed to. Kyle's supposed Kyle's to give us something to look forward to for the 2021
Kyle, let love
Cubs.
Lift us up where we belong.
We can look forward to them running highlights from 2015, 2016, 2017. Specifically Jake Arrieta highlights when they need something to put on the video boards when he takes them out for his start. So
you're
we'll
absolutely
have that.
Right.
Well, that's a good point. Will the most exciting moments of the season be the tribute videos for Schwarber and Lester when the Nats come to town?
Well, are they going to do tribute videos with 12,000 people there?
They did a tribute video to Lester with nobody there last year. Although it was a funny one. It was narrated by Schwarber, and it showed all of the games because he had this knack. They showed he hit more home runs than Lester starts than anybody else, but he also dropped fly balls in like six different John Lester starts. So they had him narrate a video where he talked about dropping the fly balls, which is actually very funny. And nobody saw it. We didn't even see it till they did their special on, because how would we have possibly seen it? It's not like they have a 24-hour-a-day network devoted to the fucking team. We see it 5 months later, and we don't even see the whole video. We see a little snippet of it in this thing that they did. It's like,
guys, I mean, I see people trying to talk themselves into Jake Arrieta, and like, I love Jake Arrieta. That was his starts, even from the end of 2014.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like people don't realize that he was really good in 2014. And like, when Lester signed here, and people kind of skeptical, like, well, I don't know if he's really an ace. And we're all, and like, those of us were like, he's not coming here to be the ace.
Well, yeah, that wasn't lost on other people. David Sampson said that the Marlins tried to trade at the end of 2014 for Jake, and the final deal, the one that the Marlins decided they just couldn't quite do, had JT Realmuto in it. That's how much they thought of Arrieta.
Like, he was that's when he started in 2014 all the way through 2016 when he started to fade a little bit. I mean, that might be the most fun I've had as a Cubs fan. Like him on the mound, it was like, they're not going to lose today. Yeah. They're just not going to lose. Like, that was, you know, that was Doc Gooden 86 stuff. You know, that was, I mean, I don't have the, you know, it was what we thought Kerry Wood would provide.
Right.
You know, it's what Mark Pryor did provide for such a short time. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love Jake Arrieta. He will always, you know, be one of my favorite Cubs, but like, does no one ever watch a non-Cubs game? around time. Like, he was terrible. Yes.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I loved Jake so much, I didn't want him to come back.
Right.
Just please go somewhere else and be mediocre or worse. Don't come back here and do it. We can find anybody to be bad. And there comes Will. That's all they're looking for these days. They'll find somebody else.
But they're going to get Pitching Lab 2021 on him. They're like, oh, we've cracked the code. Like, and I know he wasn't as healthy. But
isn't that every – I mean, and now they're trying to – And I, you know, I won't. John Lester was bad last year because John Lester's old. That's why he's bad. But they're like, well, maybe the thyroid problem really affected him. Or maybe the fact he's old and he's thrown a million pitches and he was awesome and he's just not, because at some point you're not anymore. And that's where he is.
Right. At some point you're just not. I mean, this is such a Blackhawks thing to do. They brought him back so they could spend the season going, hey, remember when he was good?
Yeah. The Cubs are playing the one final shift, except they're doing it for a whole season.
They're doing it for a whole season. Well, and the Hawks would do it at the deadline, so he'd only play like 20 games. You know, but like, right. Hey, remember when he was good and we were good? Well, we're gonna have him here so you can remember that.
Well, it's like
all the time.
It's like the Cubs have brought Jake back. Hey, Jake, could you throw out the first pitch and maybe 80 more?
Right. Like, they're gonna throw him out on the mound and at Wrigley with the bricks and Ivy, and they're just gonna hope that people shut their eyes, and when they open them, they're going to think it's 2015. Like, they're just going to have this flashback and just live in 2015 for 3 hours.
So, yeah, so we got that to look forward to, too, which is
that's good stuff.
Which is Jake Arrieta ruining our fond memories of him.
God.
It's very much a thing, right? Hasn't we decided that every Cub who's ever won the Cy Young has left and come back. Every single one.
He won't be as good as Maddux.
So they had to. But, right. It'll be more Rick Russell's return.
Also, everyone loses. I love John Lester, too. And they're like, oh, do that, you know, the World Series, all that. I'm like, yeah, Arrieta went 2-0, too. Does anybody remember that one? Like, I know he scored a bunch of runs in his starts, but, like, geez. Anyway.
We were throwing the no-hitter into like the sixth, and we didn't know because there have been so many base runners.
Right.
What he's got a no-hitter.
He was,
it's like Steve Traxel in the 98 play-in game. What, a no-hitter? How the Giants have had the bases loaded 4 times.
He is still he was on the mound for what is still the last or most recent Cubs playoff victory.
Indeed.
In 2017.
They actually pitched pretty well against
the Dodgers. Yeah, he pitched very well.
Yeah.
When he didn't have anything. I mean, that was when he was fully toast.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, Kyle Davies is fine. I'm just so used to being annoyed by him that I can't turn that off. Like, when he's pitching well for the Cubs, I'll be as annoyed as I was when he was doing it for the Brewers. Because I'm sitting there going, no! Hit him! It's not that hard! Stop! Like,
well, you know what would have been cool? It would have been to have gotten Kyle Davies and had you, Darvish, to put in between Hendricks and Davies. Because you could have, because the Padres didn't trade him to the Cubs because he was such a key part of the you, Darvish trade. They were looking to get off of his salary so they could spend it on better players. So you could have had him and had you. But they didn't. Cubs weren't interested in that kind of stuff.
They added 3 pitchers better than Kyle Davies.
Right.
And then we're like, oh, well, we don't need you anymore here. Go away.
Well, it was a very – not to pick on Bleacher Nation, but why not?
Please.
During spring training, they were writing, well, is Zach Davies – you think he's open to signing a long-term extension right now?
Who gives a shit?
Why? Because he's going to be so good in the regular season that it's going to price him out. It's like, I got news for you. That's not a big risk, guys. If you want him, you'll be able to keep him. Chances are you're not going to want him. All right. Well,
all right, we should probably stop doing this to ourselves.
That's enough of this. Now, next time we talk, whenever that is, we will have games to fixate on. And then all this will just be a hazy memory because the Cubs.
Well, you'll have games to fixate on. You'll have to tell us.
That's right. I'll have to describe. I will be reenacting the games. Just like Ronald Reagan and the Iowa radio station. I'll get the two blocks of wood to bang together like the guy in Bull Durham.
I'd vote for you.
Right, so I will tell you guys what's happening, and then we'll regale in all of the Cub wins and be like, you know what? We were wrong. They're so good. I had no idea.
I'll come back with Bleacher Nation's raps of them so that I'm feeling so optimistic about it. And then you can contrast that with what actually is going on.
The only thing I really want from the first week, especially, it doesn't have to be the opener, it could be game two. I want a shot of the left field foul pole and the bleachers. And I want to see Al, perfectly socially distanced from everybody else, living his dream.
This is what he's always wanted.
He's wanted to do this his whole life, which is to sit there with nobody within 6 to 12 feet of him.
But he can't get his tickets, right? Like, season ticket holders, we had priority, but we weren't guaranteed to be able to buy our seat. You know, you had to buy where the seats were.
Right, and there allocated. Are, and there, I believe, right, there's, and there's assigned seats in the bleachers, right? To make sure.
Oh, there has to be. Distancing. There has to be.
Oh, I would guess, I guarantee you, he was camped out with a lawn chair right after Christmas for months, waiting to I need to talk to someone in authority about this. I'm going to need this seat. Like, okay, great.
Okay. They probably did it just to get them to leave him alone. Just get him to leave him alone.
He's not going to stop complaining. We might as well let him sit there. He likes to dry hump the foul pole during games. Why should we take that away from him? He's suffered enough.
I should definitely do this intermittently because I don't want to bring you two down every week. That's not fair. You guys have rich lives you need to get to and get through every day. And me yelling at you on a weekly basis is not gonna do anybody any favors. So I'll be in and out to yell, and then I have my own weekly podcast I can go yell at weekly, and then you know we'll parse it out.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Okay. As long as we're agreed.
All right. Well, until next time, when we'll have a little better handle on, we'll have seen Eric Sogard and he'll have changed all of our minds about vaccines and his play, and it'll be great. So until we meet again, thanks guys.
Take care.
Thanks guys.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Many of us have herpes.